Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Good morning, everyone. Come on back in, bring your coffee, bring your goodies, get comfortable. Hey, Bob did a great job and talked about the fast and what God showed him during the fast, and today is our last day. I hope that you have been journeying along with us with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I just want to read this scripture over all of us and to all of us in Ephesians 3. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen. One of the things I think, probably the main thing that God was reminding me of and showing me through this prayer and fasting, is how incredibly powerful his Spirit is, and his Spirit lives in us. And sometimes we just miss out on that because we're not tapping into that power. We're not realizing that we have that power. And when we go to invite our friends to church and we go to talk to people about the love of Jesus, we get timid and we get fearful and we forget that his Spirit is in us, guiding us, and that he's responsible for the outcome, and we're just there to tell people and to invite. Last week, Mike, I want to blame it on him, but I really can't. He advertised The Sound of Freedom. We're going to be showing that movie, and he gave you a date, and the reason he gave you the date that he gave you is because I told him what the date was, and it was wrong. So it really is on me, so I own up to that. So it's not in February, it's in March. So it's Saturday, March 15th at 4 o'clock. We'll show the movie. We'll have Bridget's House of Hope here, and they will be able to talk to us about how they help to stop human trafficking. And then we'll have pizza and all kinds of fun things, popcorn and all that stuff. So mark your calendars, March 15th, Saturday at 4 p.m. And I would love if Courtney and the youth would come on up. They have something exciting to share. Grab that microphone over there. Hopefully you've seen them out in the foyer with this beautiful quilt. Yep, you're all set.
So hi, I'm Courtney. I am student first here, and we were donated this beautiful quilt from Peggy Drummond.
Yay, thank you, Peggy.
And the youth is raffling it off to pay mostly for summer camps at this point now, because we go to winter camp in 2 weeks. But we're going to raffle it off on March 23rd. Tickets are $10 a piece or three for $25. So some of you guys have already bought some, so thank you. But camp is really a big passion project. These kids grow so much when they're there, and they really just get to, you know, find the love of Jesus. So please buy tickets and win a chance for the beautiful quilt.
Thanks, guys. Isn't that gorgeous? And thank you, Peggy. Thank you for doing that. Well, today we're wrapping up a series that we've been doing called I Am Jesus, and we've been taking a look at the I Am statements, specifically four out of the seven that Jesus made. And if you'll remember, in the first few weeks, this is what we studied. I am the resurrection and the life. And we discovered that the resurrection is a person, not just an event. And then the next week, I am the good shepherd. Remember, he's the good shepherd that would leave the 99 to go after the one. And if you were here, we learned a whole lot about sheep, right? But I have to tell you, I own my mistake. So I have to tell you, I gave you a false statement unintentionally in that message that someone brought to my attention. So remember when we were all crying because I said a shepherd would break the little adorable lamb's leg when he wandered off? Well, a shepherd never breaks a lamb's leg. Never. My resource was incorrect. When I did more research, after someone brought that to my attention, I discovered that is a myth. That is absolutely a myth. But, on my behalf, I found it very hysterical that what I read was, yes, it is a myth, but boy, that statement will preach. So never, never, never take our word for things. We do our best to be as accurate as possible, but some things, well, they'll just preach. Last week, Mike talked about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. And more importantly, that Jesus would be the light of your world. Darkness never overtakes the light. And today we're going to talk about, in my opinion, one of the most important I am statements that Jesus made. And it goes right along with our theme for the year. Anybody remember what that theme is?
Living as a branch.
Yes, living as branches. Thank you. So let's look at John 15. And I'm going to read. Oh, I thought it was falling. I heard that noise of that. Thank you. Is it in your way? Okay. Thank you for that. We'll get to that plant in a minute. It's not just there for your looks, your enjoyment. All right, so back to John 15. I'm just going to read a little bit here. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Remember that word, much. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, say obey, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Amen. And in verse 5 that I read, Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So that statement alone, all by itself, is so significant. If you abide in me and I in you, you're going to bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's pretty important to our everyday life. So let's start by looking at when Jesus said this statement, and let's just kind of put some context around it. So I read that from John 15. In John 13, just a couple of chapters before this, we see what's called the Last Supper. Well, why is it called the Last Supper? Because it was the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before he went to be crucified, arrested, and crucified. And then a couple chapters later, in chapter 18, we see him get arrested. So chapter 13 of John, it's the start of the Last Supper. And in chapter 18, he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's arrested and taken away to be crucified. And so in this in-between part, it's kind of like we can just call it, let's have some dinner conversation. The last dinner that Jesus was going to have with his disciples. So let me ask you this question. If I said to you, you're going to sit around a table with your friends and with your family, and it's going to be the last time that you will speak to them before you die. Do you think you'd think about what that conversation was going to be like for a little bit? Would you think about what you would say? What you might want your loved ones to know about how you feel about them? And maybe even share some life lessons that you learned that you want to impart into them before you're gone. So this is the context where we see Jesus say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's very important. And why is being connected to the vine so important? Well, that's where we come to my little illustration here. It's very simple. If you take a look at this, let's call it a tree, okay? This is a tree. And you take a look at it, let's let this represent Jesus. And when you see it, it's in soil, right? There's some water, some fertilizer in the plant. You can look at it and you can say, it looks pretty healthy. Looks like it could bear fruit. It looks good. Looks like it should look. And then here's where we are. Right? We're a branch. Not such a good thing. I don't think there's a lot of fruit that's going to come off of this branch. Would you agree? Right? So the question becomes, do we like this? Do we like this? Is it option A or option B? Pretend you're at the eye doctor, which is clearer? Option A, option B, right? Which one? We don't want it. This is dead. It's not connected to anything. And this is not what we mean when we say living as branches. It's not the way that we want to live. We want to be connected to the true vine. And when we do, will bear much fruit. Jesus said right at the beginning that I read in John 15, in the very beginning of that chapter, he says, I am the true vine, which that implies that there's false vines that we can connect ourselves to. And sometimes we take ourselves and we connect to other things. Something like this, right? If this will work. This is us. We put ourselves in this vase of water. And we think, okay, now we'll bear some fruit. Now I'm going to produce some fruit. And I'm pretty sure that that vase, even as pretty as it is, and that water is not going to cause that branch to bear fruit. We attach ourselves to false vines. Well, what are some false vines, you say, Kathy? Well, it sounds a little bit like this. If I make more money next year, if I can climb one rung of the company ladder, oh, that's fruit. Jesus will say, not so much. Or what if I can just obtain that certain social status? I want to wear all the right things. I got, you know, the right technology, the latest iPhone in my pocket, or the Coach purse. I got the newest thing, and I know if my Facebook post gets reposted by somebody really important, that's going to look good for me. I'll be showing everybody, all my friends, how important I am, and I'll look cool. You know, how many likes do we get? We attach ourselves to people, to money, to homes, to cars, to vacations, to status, to jobs, to positions. And, or even sometimes it looks like something good. You know, oh, if only I was asked to be an elder at Joy Church or on the Joy Church Council. And we do it because we want people to think we've got it all together. We create this, or we want to create this appearance of a perfect home, perfect family dynamics, even though inside the house is in shambles and that house is us. You know, the famous, I don't know, famous, but everybody talks about having the, you know, perfect little house with the white picket fence and the, you know, 2.5 kids and the perfect manicured lawn and the, you know, dogs that don't bark, all those kinds of things. And there's our Bible on the coffee table. Perfect, not, you know, the pages are all not written in. Everything is just because it never gets open. Jesus would say that that's not fruit and that that's a false vine. We have to connect to the true vine, and in doing so, we'll bear much fruit. Here's some thoughts. Staying connected produces fruit. You see it. I read it. John 15:5. And I can, you're probably already like, she said this how many times? We're going to go over it and over it and over it and over it again. You're going to memorize it. I want it to stick in the inside of our minds, find its way this week and every week into our hearts as we walk out our lives. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the fruit here is very important. It's not just like apples and bananas we're talking about. And it's not money and status and things. And so in Galatians 5, the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience. As these words come out of my mouth, don't you just think like, that's what I want. That's what I want. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, self-control. And as we hear these words, I don't know about you, but I'm like, oh, please, that's what I need to have. That is the kind of fruit that I want to come out of my life. It's good stuff, and it's the kind of fruit that Jesus says we will bear if we abide in him. If we live like branches connected to the true vine, because staying connected produces fruit. I'm going to give you a little example from my life. Kind of embarrassing, but I always share my stuff. So years ago in our marriage, it seemed like any time I had the opportunity to get out, like go for coffee with a friend or take my girls to extracurricular activities or do anything where I left the house and Mike was home and, you know, came with that. Jake was there too as a little boy. And every time, I'm using that word every, so take that lightly. That's what I remember. Every time I would come home from something where we were apart, the house was a disaster. It was a mess. And it might have been a mess sometimes when I left, but it was still a mess when I came home. Dishes in the sink, stuff not picked up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And so when I would walk in the door, immediately I was in a bad mood. And I wasn't just in a bad mood keeping it to myself. I was reacting horribly every single time. I would start right in right? I would say these things. It's not worth going anywhere if I'm going to come home to all this stuff. Anybody ever said that? Can you at least do the dishes when I'm gone? Didn't you trip over all these things that I'm tripping over as I walk into the house? Why is it so stinking hard to just clean up? Ugliness spewing out of my mouth. I really needed some mouth management. Remember that series? And eventually, Mike's probably like, thank goodness. But eventually God began to deal with me. And when he did, I offered him so many excuses. All these excuses. It's him, Lord. It's not me. I do everything around here. God would whisper, be kind. Be gentle. Ugh. Don't you know, Lord, how much I do? Don't you see how hard I work to keep this house and this family going? I will make you a list, Lord. All the things he does, which is very short, and all the long list of all the things that I do. And I realized that God wasn't up there surprised by all this. Oh, my bad, Kathy. I didn't realize you were doing all those things. Let me just rethink what I asked you to do. Yeah, no reason, Kathy, for you to be kind, for you to be gentle after all. Now that you reminded me, I wasn't really paying attention. I was up here sleeping on the job when I spoke to you. You snuck all that right by me. No. He said, I know what's going on, Kathy. I know it all. Be kind and be gentle. And what happened is this little bitty blossom of fruit called gentleness began to appear in my life and specifically in my marriage. Just a little one. And I wouldn't have called it fruit by any means, but I would say it was the start of God doing something supernaturally and special. And maybe you find yourself there. Sometimes we find ourselves staying connected, but man, it doesn't seem like there's any fruit coming out. A friend or a child you've been praying for a long time, and you just want them to come to know Jesus. It's just simply not happening, or it appears it's not happening. And sometimes it even seems like they're going the other way, and you're like, what is happening, God? What is going on? Maybe it's that sense of anger. You're just so easily angered, and it's just driving you crazy. Why can't I get over this? That selfishness inside of you, and you're just sick of it, or this lust problem that you just want gone, but you just can't seem to get over it. And you're like, I'm trying to stay connected, but where's the fruit? Well, here's the deal. Jesus said, plain and simple, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's not like the weather forecast. Might snow, might not snow, might be a dusting, could be a foot, might be 20 below, or it could be 20 above. We just don't know, right? There's, when we're looking at a fruit forecast from the Word of God, there's 100% chance of fruit on this deal. Yeah, hallelujah. He didn't say, you might bear fruit. He said, you will bear fruit. And he didn't say just fruit. He said, much fruit. But here's the key. We have to remain. We have to abide in him. We have to be intentional about that. And in the midst of that time when our friends or our children walk away and we're impatient, we keep praying for them. When we find ourselves doing things and we're like, I can't believe I'm doing this still, God, we pray. We push in. We continue to remain in him. We continue to connect to the true vine. When we remain in him and he in us, then we will bear much fruit. But we have to stay connected to the vine. It's critical. It's critical. So staying connected produces fruit. And then the second thing is the opposite, which is obviously true. Being disconnected produces nothing. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. In John 15:6, I read this too. He says this, if you do not remain in me, you're like this, right here. This little branch, or this big branch, it's going to be thrown away, and it withers. He says, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. It's not a good thing to be a branch that's not connected. When we're not connected, we don't produce anything. And when we disconnect, here's the thing, when we disconnect, we can begin to look on other people and almost always find ourselves in this judgmental state. The opposite of bearing fruit. Kindness, gentleness, nope. Judgment, anger, pride, sin. Galatians 5, where I told you Paul talks about the fruit. He also talks about when we're not connected, when we aren't being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We follow our sinful nature, and it produces the opposite of fruit. Jealousy, anger, envy, sexual immorality. So when you find yourself doing these things, you check and you see how your connection to the vine is. Mike and I will call each other out. When we get snippy, we get grouchy with one another, one of us will say, hey, have you been journaling? What's God been speaking to you about? Now, wait a minute. Not right in the middle of our arguments or anything. That is never a good thing. Don't do that. I don't advise that. That's not good. Don't say in the middle of a heated discussion, hey, have you been reading your Bible lately? Timing is everything. But we can tell. We can tell when we're at each other at all about little stuff that our connection is weak. So when you find yourself being judgmental, prideful, selfish, stop and check your connection to the vine. Give yourself a review. How's my prayer life? What scripture have I been meditating on? What's God been speaking to me? Or wait a minute, maybe I haven't been taking time to listen. And here's a good one. Who have I been hanging around with? Let me tell you something. I've been in ministry for over 20 years now. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've learned is that anybody is capable of anything when they're disconnected from the vine. You're not immune. Mike and I, the elders, the person sitting to your left, to your right, everybody. And I don't care how much they tell you they're reading the word, you know, if it's not in going into their heart, if they're just doing it out of I need knowledge, they're not connected. You have to be connected. And you might say, yes, Kathy, yes, yes, okay, we get it. That's important. I agree. How do we stay connected? How do we do it? There's so many ways. My little illustration about talking ugly to Mike and God whispering to me to be kind and gentle, it really came from reading the word in a women's Bible study. Is that a way to stay connected? Yes, absolutely. Prayer. Is that a way? How about worship? How about coffee with a friend when they speak truth into your life right where you need it? But ladies, let me speak to you about that for a minute. When you need some help in your marriage or friendships, don't go to your friends that aren't following Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that you heard me. I didn't say don't have friends that are not following Jesus. I didn't say that. I said don't go to them for advice. You want women who will pray for you, who will direct you to Jesus, not to what the world says about relationships. How about a sunrise breaking over the mountains in the distance? Is that a way? Yes. How about holding that brand new baby in the middle of the night and thinking about what Bob talked about, being grateful and thankful and thanking God that he blessed your family with this new little life? That's a way. Thankfulness, gratefulness, that's a great way. There's a lot of different ways to stay connected. And the problem, I believe, is that many times we just lack the motivation to do so. What does God say fundamentally to get us to stay connected? It's this. The first thing, and you probably aren't going to like it, you've got to do what Jesus says to do. You have to do what Jesus says. In John 15:10, we read it at the beginning. He says, if you'll keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Keep my commands, you will remain in my love. I love, so Francis Chan, I love the way that he illustrates this story when he talks about it. It's like a parent who asks their kid, hey, I need you to go clean your room. And the kid leaves and comes back. Did you clean your room? Well, I memorized that you told me to go clean my room. Well, that's great. Did you clean your room? Well, wait, I wrote it right here on my arm. And on this side, I put it in Hebrew. Go clean my room. That way I'll be reminded that you told me to go clean my room. But did you clean your room? Well, I got four of my friends together and we went to the park and we were throwing the football. We studied the word clean in Greek. It's klinio, which means to like clean in haste and clean with much fortitude. Yeah, good job. But did you clean your room? Oh, well, I went to a conference and we talked about what it meant to clean a room. And then somebody told us how to clean more effectively. Did you clean your room? God may say, seriously, Kathy, did you clean your room? That's what I'm talking about. Many of us, we just need to simply go clean our room. God's been telling us to do something for a long time. He's probably even been confirming it in other ways, like through his word. People have been telling you, you should do this, you need to do this. And you're like, I can't do this. And God's saying, go clean your room. Quit talking about it. Quit praying about it. How many times do I need to confirm it for you? Clean your room. Okay, so I heard you, Kathy, and you know others say that the next step after giving my life to the Lord is to be baptized. But, oh, you know, I don't know when I'm going to do that. Clean your room. I've been coming for months. I know I could serve on the greeting team. I can smile. Or actually, I have some really great computer skills. And I know you're always saying you need help with running the slides. But, you know, I don't know those people on the team. Clean your room. I love Joy Church's mission to impact our communities with the Father's love. And I know when I hear every week God says to tithe and even to test him in that. But he doesn't really know my situation. Clean your room. Maybe you need to spend more time with your kids and invest in them before they're gone. Because I can tell you, you're going to blink. And that's going to happen. And God's saying, hey, clean your room. Invest in these kids that I've given you. Maybe God's put it on your heart to be just a little selfless and outside of yourself. God says, clean your room. You can do this. Come on. We've got to do what Jesus says. You want to stay connected to the vine, do what Jesus says. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. As I start to wrap up, if the worship team would come up, that would be great. The second thing, it's simple. We're going to raise it up a little bit. This is where Jesus says, you've got to love like Jesus loves. He said this, my command is this, that you would love each other as I have loved you. So here's the deal, right? When he added that as I love you piece, that's where it kicked it up. Because if he just said, hey, I want you to love each other, well, that's kind of subjective. It's kind of like, how do I feel today? How should I love you? How should you love your neighbor? And, you know, just like whatever. But he didn't say that. He said, do it as I loved you. Jesus had a problem. His disciples for years had been wondering who was going to be the greatest. And they've been talking about it over and over again on the way to Jerusalem for the Passover meal. They were arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus like, hey, guys, listen. The greatest among you is the one who serves. In other words, it's the one who loves. And then when they get to dinner, Jesus puts a towel around his waist and he washes their feet. He actually shows them what it looks like. And then at dinner, in dramatic fashion, that's when he says, guys, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you want to remain in my love, then keep my commands. In other words, do what I say. And what I'm going to tell you is love each other as I have loved you. In the very next scripture, he said, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. He raised that standard way up there. Love each other as I have loved you. And here's the reason he did that. He didn't give some big, long list of things that we have to do to show somebody that we love them. He just said, you do this. Well, why? Because we really can't do it. We're incapable. I'm incapable of loving like Jesus loved apart from being connected to the vine. It's just not in our nature. We can't do it. But when we stay connected, all of a sudden, fruit starts to happen. And we can begin to love each other as he loved us. And as we do that, it drives us back to the vine, and then it happens again, and he says, love someone a little deeper, and boom, it goes back to the vine, and this cycle just repeats and repeats and repeats. And these little blossoms of fruit, a little bit of love, a little bit of joy, some extra peace, a little more patience, kindness, maybe some goodness, some faithfulness, and some gentleness and self-control. Lord knows we need patience and kindness and everything else. And all these things begin to produce themselves as we stay connected to the vine. So my question for all of us today is, what fruit is being evidenced in your life? Love, joy, peace. Jesus said when we remain in him and he in us, we will bear fruit, much fruit. And as we do that and as we love each other, what happens is God, he takes our loneliness. He replaces it with his comfort. He takes our desires. He replaces it with his desires. And as we love each other and we remain connected, we find ourselves one day right smack in the middle of a miracle. God is doing something in us, and he's producing that fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word that does not return void. We thank you for your spirit that is here with us right in this moment. And as we pray today, there are those of us who would say, you know what? I'm a follower of Jesus and I just need God's help to be able to stay connected. Maybe you're going through something difficult, maybe really difficult, or maybe it's a really good time. And in all times, we need to stay connected, because in doing that, we're going to produce fruit. So everyone here today who would say, I need some help to stay connected, just lift up your hands where I can see it. Mine is lifted up. You need help. And I'm going to pray for all of us. Thank you. I see your hands. Father, I pray today that we, by the power, your power and your strength, that we would stay connected to you. I pray that no matter what methodology you use for each of us personally, that you would burn in our hearts the motivation to do what you say and to love like you love, so that we can bear much fruit and remain in you. And I pray that your spirit will convict us when we're not, and that we would remain in you and you in us, so that we would again bear much fruit. Lord, we talked about the false vines and the things that we can attach ourselves to try and bear fruit. And the problem is that they just don't, no matter what it is that we do, no matter how many times we try to go back to these false vines, they just simply don't bear any fruit. None of the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, all of those things, they don't get born out of false vines. And we know you said, I am the true vine. Today, God has brought you here to let you hear the truth. Jesus says, it's only in me that the fruit of forgiveness can be found. Jesus knew God. He knew that we had a sin problem. He knew we would try to take the true vine, the perfect vine, and replace it with false things, and that that would bear sin in our lives. He knew we would find ourselves with a lack of meaning and purpose, and even drive. And God said, you know what? That's not good enough for my kids. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to die in their place for the forgiveness of our sins. and so that we could bear much fruit to the Father's glory. Some of you today, you know God has brought you here to hear that truth. And it's your time to say yes to a relationship with Jesus. And when you do, you become forgiven. You become a new creation. God gives you a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning. And you begin to walk out a life that bears much fruit. If that's you today, here in this room or even online, you would say yes. That's why I am here. I want to say yes to a relationship with Jesus. And I want to live for the true vine. With nobody looking around, just lift up your hands so I can see them this morning. I see your hands. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Joy Church, nobody prays alone. And so we're going to all pray together. Just pray after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the true vine. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. Help me each day to walk in you, to walk in your provision, to walk in your love, to walk in your purpose. I give you my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. To those of you that just gave your life to the Lord, you are embarking on a new journey that is going to be full of excitement. It's going to have bumps, like Bob was talking about, where nobody ever guarantees that it's all going to be smooth sailing from here, but it will be the best decision that you have ever made. And we want to walk alongside you. Well, next week, we start a series on second chances, and we're going to be looking at the book of Jonah. So if you want to get a head start, go ahead, read that book this week. It's very short, 4 short chapters. You can probably read it in less than 30 minutes. And we love you all, and there is nothing you can do about it. The very best, I believe, is yet to come. Have a great Sunday.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.